bless all of you tonight. Glad you're here. Was Sunday night, how many were here Sunday night? Wasn't that a powerful move of God? That was just God having His way, wasn't it? I think we ought to do it again. So, yeah, we're definitely going to do it again. I see some of our folks from Beachwood here tonight. Thank you for being here, driving all that way, coming to hear the covenants. I mean, it's a commitment to come an hour and 15 minutes, some of them. So thank you. But we're going to do one out there as well. So we're working it out with Embassy. We're going to do a healing and deliverance service out there on a Sunday night. And I think the next service that the Lord has been leading me to do is not a healing and deliverance, but a healing and prophetic service, where there will be prophetic impartation and laying on of hands and words from the Lord that God will speak over people. And we're just going to just kind of move that direction. It's kind of where I'm feeling the Lord to take us. So I don't know. We'll just schedule it. God will just show up because He's faithful, isn't He? All right, let's go to Isaiah tonight, 45:18. We've got a lot of ground to cover. And, you know, these covenant things are... I had some people say, Pastor, it was way too much information last week. I couldn't write fast enough. It's like too much stuff. You're killing me. It's overload. Slow down. So, okay, that was the introduction, you know. Come on, give me a break. I got to introduce what we're talking about. So, I mean, I'll do my best tonight. We'll just go on one covenant tonight. But we want to start in Isaiah 45 and verse 18. It's a great verse. If you're there, say amen. All right. If you're still looking, say one more minute. All right. Isaiah 45 and verse 18. And if you need to look at the screen and cheat, you can do that. You don't have to look it up in the Bible. Verse 18 says this, "For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord and there is no other." Now, Isaiah, he's saying, look, God didn't do this by mistake. He created the earth with purpose, and He created it to be inhabited. So we, in our habitation of the earth, are right where God intended for us to be. And to recognize that we have been made to rule and to reign and to dominate, subdue, and we're going to get into that in just a minute, this earth that was created by God for us to inhabit. It is not to dominate us. The things of this earth are not to dominate us like gold and silver, but we are to dominate them, right? And so we're going to look at that tonight. This particular covenant is the first covenant that God made with man, and it is the only covenant that is not redemptive in its context. So if you want to remember the covenants, you want to remember that the Edenic covenant or Eden covenant is the only covenant that is not redemptive in its purpose. Because this was pre-fall. This was prior to Adam and Eve sinning. So now we recognize that this particular covenant is set apart from the rest of them. But understanding that it is the beginning of God's purpose. It is the actual demonstration of what God had intended, what His purpose and what His will is. If you want to know God's purpose and His will for the earth, you study this covenant and you will begin to understand what our purpose is here on this earth, according to Isaiah 45 and verse 18. And recognizing tonight that the covenants are just fragments of the whole purpose of God. Each are a part of the progressive revelation of God's purpose on the earth. Now, the covenants are all about progressive revelation of God's purpose for man on the earth. And when we read it that way, we're understanding we're not just getting Bible knowledge, but we are actually beginning to fulfill the call of God upon our life and align ourselves with the very purposes of God. So this Eden covenant stands alone. It distinctly declares God's purpose for creating mankind. And the first first two covenants of redemption are the Adamic covenant and the Noahic covenant. One with Noah and the one with Adam. Those are the first two redemptive covenants. Now, they follow, of course, the Eden covenant. And you'll note something about the Adamic covenant and the Noahic covenant. The Adamic covenant is a covenant that God made with the father of the human race. But the Noahic covenant is the covenant that God made with the father of the human race after the flood. So you want to understand that those two covenants run parallel. They're very similar because all the earth was destroyed by a flood. And so Noah, God had to reestablish his covenant on the earth. Remember the rainbow in the sky? Many of us remember Noah and the rainbow. We always see a rainbow over the ark. Well, God reestablished his covenant with mankind because everyone had perished but Noah. And so Adam was the father of the human race, and Noah was the father of the human race after the flood. So out of these then, the Adamic and the Noahic covenant, came the Abrahamic covenant. So if you can begin to see the Adamic and Noahic covenants coming together, and out of them was birthed the Abrahamic covenant. And the Abrahamic covenant was just a kind of an exaggeration, or if you will, it was an amplification of the two previous covenants that God had made with the addition of the promise of the seed of blessing. With the seed of blessing. So I'm giving you a little background again. We're kind of going back into the introduction. But I just want you to begin to understand that this chain of revelation, each covenant is like a link in the chain. We have the Edenic covenant, then we have the Adamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. And each one is a chain in the revelation of God's purposes on the earth. So as I study them, I can align myself with God's purposes, and I can be in the perfect will of God. That's what's beautiful about this, is I don't have to wonder, am I functioning in the will of God? I can know that. So rising then out of the Abrahamic covenant was the Davidic covenant and the New Covenant. The Davidic covenant and the New Covenant. And the New Covenant basically is designed to bring men back to the Edenic covenant. Okay? Is that totally confusing? But the Edenic covenant was the first covenant God made with man. The new covenant is God's attempt to bring man completely back to the beginning. To restore to man God's original intent. See, that's where you and I are tonight. We are in the new covenant. Amen? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the terms of the New Testament. Through the terms and through the place of the altar of the presence of God. We went through all of that which establishes a covenant last week. And we're now in the new covenant. And this new covenant brings us right back to the Edenic covenant, which reestablishes all the purposes of God. Now, if we go back to the Mosaic covenant dealt with the people of Israel. It does not deal with you and I. And it was a revocable covenant. Remember we talked about irrevocable covenants and revocable covenant last week. The Mosaic covenant was a revocable covenant, but it was to the people of Israel. And also the Palestinian covenant was about the land of Israel, the promised land of Israel. And it was not directed towards us either. And so we have to understand that these two covenants, although they reveal the redemptive plan, they were not necessarily covenants that were for the New Testament believer. But we understand, though, that the new covenant brings us back to the Edenic covenant. So all other covenants are links in the chain of divine revelation. So let's go back to Genesis 1, verse 28. Let's get into the Edenic covenant tonight the best that we can and try to understand this together. These are verses that you're familiar with. Genesis 1, verse 28. The Bible says there that God blessed them, speaking of Adam and Eve, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God said, these are the terms of my covenant. You are going to be blessed. You are going to be fruitful. You are going to multiply. You're going to fill the earth. You're going to subdue it. There's nothing on the earth that moves that you won't have jurisdiction over. There's nothing that functions in the earth that you will not have jurisdiction over. You are to subdue it. You are to conquer it. And so we read that that is the promise of blessing. But then go to verses 26 and 27, which are key in this whole covenant that God's making with Adam. He's saying this. He said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we see this image that man was created in was not only a spiritual image, but it was a mental image. So not only were we created as a spirit, God is a spirit, and we, you know, worship in spirit and truth, John 4:24, we were singing about that. But God not only created us in his image of his spirit, but he created us in his image of his mentality, his mental image. So as God thinks, so are we to think. That's why we go through the New Testament, the New Covenant, which just brings us back to the Edenic Covenant, that we're to renew our minds, right? We'd be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we know that. So you see, that's how we get back to the mental image of God's original purpose and God's original intent. Is this making sense so far? All right. And it's also the volitional image. So involved also in the very character of God. He said, when I created man, I created him spiritually, mentally, volitionally. Also, my character I have given him. So when he's on the earth, he looks like me. So in the new covenant, we are recapturing the God life. Now don't get nervous with that. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Zoe, the way God has life. It is, again, God's establishing his original intent. Hallelujah. He has taken us back to his original purpose. So I understand now that that is what God is speaking in this Edenic covenant and how it impacts me in my new covenant. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, new 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Talking about Jesus. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now that to me is awesome and very exciting. Because I recognize that this earth is not my pattern. My pattern is in heaven. My pattern is spiritual. My pattern is Christ. You know, so I recognize that I have to be born again. That's why Jesus said you must be born again of the Spirit. You have to be born again of the Spirit. So now we recognize that this is God's original purpose and intent. So as we study the Edenic Covenant, you're going to realize that there are a lot of parallels between the New Covenant. You're thinking, well, this is the New Covenant. Well, of course it is, because it brings us right back to the very beginning again. It is the restoration of all things. It is Christ's redemption. It is buying us back to God's original purpose. Hallelujah. So we can walk with Him in the cool of the day, so that we can be in step with God. So we can walk in obedience and faith and trust. See, that's what's powerful about this covenant and how the Lord has brought us into this place. And he did so with purpose in mind. Listen to this. First of all, he said to reproduce. He said, I want you to reproduce after their kind. Now in Genesis 1 verses 11 to 12, we read how the herbs of the field were to reproduce after their kind. How the animals will reproduce after their kind. And God said, I want man to reproduce after its kind. So what kind are you? See, the devil would like to say, you are of the kind of your kin. Or you are of the kind of your past. No. My kind is heavenly. My association is not of this earth, but it is with the heavenly man. In other words, I have the same mental capabilities. I have the same spirit that God has. I am made in His image. So now I'm to reproduce after that kind. When we actually have children in the natural, our first priority is to reproduce them, not just naturally, but spiritually. We must reproduce them after their kind. That's why today there is an all-out assault to take your children and my children, our grandchildren, and mold them into the image of the kind of this earth. And so we have been commanded of God to reproduce after His kind. You see, the assault upon that command, but we are of covenant. And so when we keep the covenant and we reproduce after the God kind, then we see the purpose of God being established. And if you go to 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, the scripture tells us there that we're being changed from glory to glory, right? 2 Corinthians 3:18, is it up on the screen? Let me just read. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image, same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So every day I must look for, yearn for, hunger for, desire the transformation of glory, being transformed into the image of God. That is my hunger. That is my priority. That is my desire. Anything involvement in my life that doesn't contribute to that has to cease, because it is a direct assault upon how I'm to reproduce. It is a violation of what I've been called to reproduce. So he said, I want you to reproduce after your kind, the God kind of life. Then he said this, I want you to subdue. I want you to subdue. To subdue means to tread down, to conquer, to subjugate. To tread down, to conquer, to subjugate. So he did not tell man to subdue the earth, to conquer it, to tread down upon it, unless there has been an enemy loosed on it. And there was. Satan was loosed on the earth, right? So if he was loosed on the earth, God said, I want you to subdue him. I want you to conquer him. I want you to tread down upon him. Jesus said in the new covenant, see the parallels here. Behold, I give you all authority to tread upon scorpions and to have dominion over all the power of the enemy. Praise God. So we are being returned back to God's original purpose. He said, I want you to tread down, to conquer Satan, and to make the entire earth as Eden. Not just a garden in the Middle East. The entire earth. What did Jesus say? He said, go into all the world and preach this gospel. Make disciples of all nations. Why? Because it's not just a garden. It's not just about church on the North Coast. It's not just about First Church. It's not just about this denomination. It is about the earth. The nations have been given to us as an inheritance. God told him through the Edenic Covenant, you are to subdue the entire earth. There is not one area in life that you should not have the control and dominance over. Every area. So we cannot settle in our life, because we are now in covenant that if something is conquering us, something us is overpowering us, that we just give in to that. Say, no, by covenant, right, I have authority to subdue you. I have to conquer you. I have to tread upon you, because I'm in covenant with the Almighty God. And He doesn't lie. We found that out last week. He doesn't lie. So we conquer Satan and we make the entire earth as Eden. Now some people have taken this particular truth out of this covenant to an extreme. And they call it restorative theology, where they believe that before Christ comes back, we have to save everybody on the earth. Now I don't necessarily believe that, but I do believe this, that the church, when Jesus comes back, will not be weak and anemic. It will not be tucked under with its tail running behind itself. It will not be in small numbers, but rather we will be impacting nations of the earth, kings. We will be impacting governments, and we will be making a forceful advance, because we are called by covenant to subdue the earth. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things you've got to be careful about is not make a doctrine out of a link. And what we've done over the years is we make doctrines out of links instead of out of the chain. We look at one part and saying, well, that's what it's all about. No, it's not. It's all the links in the divine revelation of God's purposes on the earth. But you need every link. Look at somebody and say, you need them all. See, we can't just fulfill the purposes of God with your link. That's what denominations have done. They've got the link of the gifts of the Spirit. Because in part of this covenant, of the Edenic covenant, it said the character of God. You will be made in His image, spiritually, mentally, volitionally, and possess the character of God. Well, let's go into the New Covenant. The New Covenant, character of God, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so, volitionally, it gifts of the Spirit. So we have that image of God stamped upon our hearts. But we make a doctrine out of just the character. So we become Baptists, and we talk about learn the Bible and just be like Jesus, but no power. Or we become like Pentecostals who don't care about character. They just want the power. So we have that little link. And you know, we have all these sublinks. It's like, let's get a hold of the chain. Let's pull the church to another level. And let's not just be divided in our own interpretations. It's what's happened to us. So we're to reproduce after His kind. We're to subdue. What else did He say? We are to dominate. Everybody say dominate.
Dominate.
Dominate means have spiritual authority. He made Adam in the Edenic covenant to be a king under God. To be a king. We see this in the type of Joseph, who was a type of Christ. Joseph was second in command of all of Egypt. Whatever Joseph said, it was done. Pharaoh had complete confidence in Joseph because Joseph was a type of Christ. The Father had complete confidence in Jesus. Did you know that Jesus has complete confidence in you to run the affairs of the earth, to run the affairs of your family? To subdue your children's attitudes or your own or the situation you're in, to have dominion over it. And God has given us that authority to dominate. You know, it's sort of the illustration that Miles Monroe uses about golf. You know, Tiger Woods has dominated the game of golf. Some people would like to believe that LeBron James has dominated the game of basketball. Others would think it would be Kobe. But anyway, you know, he has dominated the game of golf because he's the best. He dominates it. Now, when I go out, it dominates me. Golf dominates me. So the illustration being that we are to have dominion. There is not one area of life, one facet of life, that it was not God's original intended purpose that we have dominion over. Well, I just can't stop swearing. You're in covenant. You have dominion over that aspect of your life. Yes, you do. I can't stop cussing. I just get angry. I get out of control. No, you can have domination over that because the Lord said you can. Then He said this in Genesis 2 and verse 5, that no rain had filled on the earth, had fell on the earth up to this point because God did not have a man to till the ground. Isn't that interesting? He didn't send the rain until there was a man to till the ground. Now, the word till there means cultivate. Cultivate means to bring to life. Cultivate means to find life and bring it forth. Cultivate means that we have the ability to create. God's given us creativity. Hallelujah. So, not until God found a man, had a man to cultivate the earth, did rain fall. But once He found the man, He said, I want you to tend it and I want you to keep it in verse 15 of Genesis 2. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to cultivate the earth. I want you to bring out your creativity. I want you to be all that you can be, every dream you dream. See, that's why we've got to encourage each other and not try to discourage each other in our dreams. Some people would like to hold you back. Oh, you're thinking too big. Why would you want to do that? I mean, come on, we're in a small little steel town. No, wait a minute. You're not understanding the covenant that I'm in. The covenant that I'm in says I need to cultivate what I touch. I need to make it blossom and make it bloom and make it fertile and make an abundance out of it. That's the covenant right that you and I have, the ability that we have. So he was telling Adam not only to tend it, but to keep it. Keep it means to protect it. To protect it. See, what we've cultivated, what we've caused to grow, you also have to protect it and to tend it and to keep it. To keep it means there are going to be an attack against it. But we have the authority over it. So the blessings of the covenant are on the basis of one basic thing. All of these blessings that God gave Adam when he was in Eden was all based on simple obedience and trust. Isn't that amazing? And so what he had to do to ensure that Adam in this Edenic covenant would operate solely out of his own will was he placed two trees in the garden. He placed the tree of life in the garden, which he could eat of freely. And then he placed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. He said, don't eat of that tree. But all these other trees, you can eat of them. Now, why did he place that tree of the knowledge of good and evil in there? Because it was a test of Adam's will for simple obedience and trust to say, I will walk in my covenant and not violate or break covenant with God. That's what it was for. In order for the covenant to be initiated, God had to give the opportunity for man to break it. You're the wonder today, why do people walk away from God? I mean, why doesn't God just zap them? Because he doesn't do that. He whosoever will can come to him. And so man had to learn simple trust and obedience. Now, watch this thread of obedience and trust. Here it is in the Edenic covenant, the only covenant that's non-redemptive in nature, other than the eternal covenant. We'll talk about that way at the end, but I'm not going to get into that now. But the Edenic covenant, that's with man, because the eternal covenant was with the Godhead. That was a different covenant. But it dealt with man, but it was between Father, Son, Holy Ghost. See, I shouldn't have even gone there. So we'll go back to the Edenic covenant. The Edenic covenant was a non-redemptive covenant. And he was saying to him that this covenant is based on faith. Now go to every link in the covenantal revelation that's progressive in the kingdom of God. What is it all based on? Faith. The Abrahamic covenant of which we get, the Davidic covenant, which we get our new covenant, was all based on the father of our faith. That's why James wrote about faith, not works. He said, show me your faith by your works. So it's still all on faith and obedience to God. Nothing changes to keep covenant. And God will allow you to get ornery if you want to. God will allow you to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil if you choose to. You can do that. But when you do, you will not eat of the tree of life. Because as soon as Adam and Eve partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the punishment was, everybody said, well, they were banished from Eden. No, they were, but they were first banished from eating of the tree of life. And the tree of life was banished from them lest they live forever as an evil being. And then God banished them from the garden. So until we're born again, we can't partake of the tree of life. See, that's why the theology out there, a link theology that says you can live like a devil and still go to heaven. That breaks covenant. You say, well, what about grace? No, I understand grace. But grace is not an excuse or a signature endorsement so that we can live in sin. No, it's not. And so this postmodern era church is in big trouble. We're in big trouble because we're teaching people it's okay to live like hellions on the earth and go to church on Sunday and sing Just As I Am and I Love You, Jesus, and you're going to heaven. And we've buried a lot of people and we preached them right into the pearly gates, and when they got there, they bounced off. Because it's all on faith and obedience. Not by works, but here's the beauty of it. It's not by mental assent, it's by heart's passion. God gives you a new heart. You want to serve God. You love His commandments. They're not burdensome to you. These are easy to do. How do you know they're easy? Because you have a new heart. Your heart's not become hardened because you love God. You have a passion for Him. It's all based on your love for God. Love is the whole concept. I'm getting way ahead of myself, so let me back up. Let's go to the blood of the covenant. That was the words of the covenant. Number two, the blood of the covenant. Genesis 2, verses 18. This is a powerful story. And you all know about it, and we most of the time associate it with producing Eve. But look at verse 18 of Genesis 2, and it reads this way, "And the Lord God said, 'It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.' Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, and whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs." See, God is the initiator of the covenant right there. He took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Ooh, she looks good. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." What happened here? Remember, every covenant has to be established by what? Blood. There has to be a life. There has to be a death. So we see in the Edenic covenant the type of the redemption that we're going to experience in the new covenant. Because Adam fell into a sleep. In other words, he laid himself down willingly. And God opened his side and took out a rib. Now, we'd like to think there was no blood when that happened. But I'm going to suggest there was blood, because every covenant has to have blood. And so this covenant was not God's blood, but it was Adam's blood. The first Adam's blood. That's why the second Adam, which was Jesus, he also had to bleed. And where did he bleed? From his side. And what did Adam birth? He birthed Eve. He birthed the bride of Christ. He birthed his companion. You see, this covenant is initiated when you and I lay our life down for God. You didn't get a lot of amens right there. Right? Yeah, I thought that would be a hallelujah right there or something. I mean, come on. This covenant doesn't work without you and I dying to self. It's just the way it is. We have to be willing to die to self. And when we do, we give our life for what? Others. We die to self and we give our life for the bride. That's why when you go to churches and there is strife among people in the church, backbiting, and there's gossip one to another, and there's unforgiveness, that is not life, that's death. And that is a serpent that has got into the covenant and polluted the plan and purpose of God for that Christian or for that church. And we ought to be so careful to protect ourselves from that, because it is a covenant obligation on our part to die to self. Now, thank God, because of Jesus, we don't have to bleed. Aren't you glad about that? I'm glad about that. I don't have to bleed because Christ bled at the cross. And he was pierced in his side, and out came blood and water. And so we see that Adam, he shed blood by giving his life for the bride. And then in Genesis 2, verses 21 and 22, it says that God took the rib. You see, God acted as the mediator. He said, "I'm going to make a covenant with you and with your descendants. I'm going to make a covenant with you and all that you reproduce. Everything you create after my kind, I'm going to make a covenant with." And so he took the rib and created Eve. But it was out of man. It was out of the covenant that he made with Adam. And this is what's powerful. You know, when people come to the altar and give their life to Christ, I'm seeing another rib. I'm seeing another bride being birthed. I'm seeing the effect of the covenant that God made way back in the Edenic covenant with Adam to reproduce on this earth godly seed. That's why it's so beautiful when you lead someone to the Lord. Somebody said, you know, there's no greater joy for a Christian than when you lead somebody to Jesus. I mean, you can't experience joy until you say, would you like to pray with me? Would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? Yes, I would. I want to repent of my sin. And you lead that person to Christ. That is pure joy. Why is it pure joy? It is because you are fulfilling God's original purpose and intent on the earth. Hallelujah. You are what? Co-creating with God. It is so awesome. So we see then in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, let us make man in our image. Now we have to understand there in the Hebrew, it's Elohim. In our image, Elohim. He's talking about Elohim. Elohim is a Hebrew word which is plural for the Godhead, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. That's why it says our. So Elohim is a creative name for God. He created the heaven and the earth. And he said, let us make man in the creative ability of the Godhead. The Elohim, the plurality of the Godhead. And so the involvement of the Godhead as the covenators. Now it had to be the Godhead that was involved in this covenant because the eternal covenant was among the Godhead. And without the covenant of the covenators, it would not have been a viable covenant. It couldn't have been made just with the Father. Couldn't have been made just with the Son. Couldn't have been made with just the Holy Ghost. It had to be, Adam had to be created in our image, in the Godhead's image, because the Godhead had made a covenant with one another for the purpose on the earth. And for that covenant to be established on the earth, it had to mirror the covenant in heaven. So it was made in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, when you baptize, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Some say, well, that's not true because he said, what should we do to be saved? He said in Acts 2:38, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent of your sins. People say, well, wait a minute. See, it's in the name of Jesus, not the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's a link. It's a link. It's a link. It's a link. You don't have a chain. It's a link. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, Lord, Yahweh, the Father, Jesus, the Son, Christ, Christos, the anointing, the Holy Ghost. He wasn't saying anything different. He said in Matthew 28, he's saying being baptized in the Godhead's covenant in the eternal heavens. In other words, be initiated under the eternal covenant that God made originally when he created Adam. I don't know, that gets pretty excited for me. I don't know about you. I'm like, wow, whoo, that's good, man. I said, wow, God, you are awesome. You thought all this up? Whew. I'm just amazing this finite mind can remember any of this stuff. Like, Lord Jesus, this is like complex. But he talks about Elohim. And then the sanctuary of the covenant. Remember we said every covenant has to have an altar. It has to have a sanctuary. And so we saw throughout the Mosaic covenant, there was an altar. There was a shedding of bulls and goats and the blood and sprinkled on the holy place and all of that. There always has to be a sanctuary. Well, understand something here in the Edenic covenant. There wasn't a temple. There was the presence of God. And Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. The sanctuary was God's presence. Ooh, I love this now. Come on, if you're any bit of a worshiper in here, understand something about the presence of God. Every time you feel or sense the presence of God, you are revisiting the place God established the covenant. Oh my, how can you go to church and not ever feel the presence of God? Oh, get me out of that church. I got to have more than just churchy stuff. I got to have the presence of God. I want to weep in his presence. I want to be moved by his presence. I want to bow under his presence. I want to sense the heaviness of God, the conviction of the Holy Ghost. That's how you know you are walking in your covenant. The sanctuary of the covenant, where God's presence appeared on earth. Next time you're in the presence of God, whether it's in your living room, or if it's in your automobile, or whether it's in church service on Sunday morning, I don't care where it's at. Covenant! Thank you, Jesus, for your glory and your presence. Hallelujah. It was right here that you cut this covenant with Adam. Thank you, Lord. The presence of the Lord. So that's something we have to yearn for, hunger for, and understand it's where we belong. It's where you and I belong. We were cut for His presence. In the temple. That's where we're to dwell. Not one time a year. No, that was just a type and a shadow. No. But we go boldly. What did Hebrews say? We come boldly. See, we're going back in the new covenant again, which ties the Edenic covenant. We go boldly into the throne room of God. How? By the blood of the Lamb. We walk right in the presence of God anytime I want to. I can take a break at work, go in the restroom and say, excuse me, ha, Jesus! And I'll be right in the presence of God. Right there in that bathroom stall. Jesus comes to bathroom stalls. In your car, driving down 90, wherever you're at. That's the beauty of this covenant. I dwell in the presence of God, man. I live in the presence of God. I could be standing in the line at a restaurant, at a grocery store, wherever, and I could be in the presence of God. I'm just enjoying my covenant. This is the Edenic covenant. This is what it's all about. We're getting a mirror of the new covenant. We'll get into that more down the road. But so it appeared on the earth. We realize how vital God's presence is to our life. It's the place of initiation. So church, hunger and thirst for the presence of God. Hunger and thirst. Don't get lazy coming to church. Don't get lazy. Don't get bored. Don't sit back and say, well, it's just long, too long, and this is too many singing. I know that song. I don't like that song. And why is it so loud? And seek out the presence. Because in your complaining or in your natural fleshy self is not where the covenant is. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Here we are standing outside the covenant place. For God is a spirit. Those that worship Him must worship how? In spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So I want to worship in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Father, number three. Oh my, 8:16. I got to hurry. The sign of the covenant. Oh, I love this. The sign of the covenant. We're talking about the Edenic covenant. All the trees in the garden. Only two were named and placed in the midst of the garden. They were a visible sign, the seal of the covenant. It was a visible sign. It was a token of the covenant. It was the tree of life. It was the tree of life. God said, this is my token. You can partake of the tree of life. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Partake of life. He said, I am the bread that's come down from heaven. Any man eat of me, any man drink of me, never thirst again, never hunger again. I've got water for you. He told the woman at the well that if you drink of me, baby, you'll never thirst again. There is eternity in me. Eat all of me. The Passover, my goodness, when we get into that, Exodus chapter 12, it was the Passover. You got to eat all the lamb. The death angel passed over. Glory to God. See, it was the token, the tree of life. And what's the tree of life in Revelation? Its leaves are for the healing of the nations. God has given us healing, the power and authority for healing. It was the tree of life operating here Sunday night. It wasn't a man. It wasn't a worship team. It wasn't an anointing that we carry. It was a tree of life that we were partaking of. Amen. Hallelujah. It was the token. It was the seal of the covenant. And so the tree of life, he was permitted to partake of it. But when he broke the terms of the agreement. Now what was the terms of the agreement? It was the words of the covenant. Adam broke the words of the covenant. He broke the terms of the covenant. How did he break the terms of the covenant? If we had the time, I'd take you back to Genesis 3. The serpent came and twisted the terms.
That's right.
Denominations twist the... All of us have twisted... We all twisted the terms. Man, you got to believe what it says. What does it say? Is that what it says? Well, then that's what I believe. I'm not going to twist what it says because I'm not experiencing what it says. I'm going to change what I believe or what it says because I'm not experiencing what it says. So I accommodate what I'm experiencing over what God declares. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to twist it. I'm not going to make a link. I'm not going to add a link into the chain. So we see he broke the terms of the covenant and focused his judgment on withholding the tree of life. Now, I say this as a submission. It's not I'm not saying it's truth. I don't know that it's true, but I'm going to submit this to you. The withholding of the tree of life in the body of Christ today is why we have no power. We are partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil at an incredible rate.
Right.
And when we get sick, we want to be healed. When we get broke, we want to get blessed. We come running to God and we say, hey God, you know your Bible says, and come on, bless me, bless me, bless me. And he said, look, your mouth is full of the knowledge of good and evil. Spit it out. You get what I'm saying? So we have to be hungering for the tree of life. For the tree of life, the tree of life, hungering for the tree of life. Look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. You have that scripture for me up there? Genesis 2 verse 17. Thought I'll just take my Bible and read it. As soon as I get there, you're going to have it, I'm sure. See, I knew that was going to happen. I knew. It's like washing your car, make it right. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, what will happen? You shall what? Surely die. We don't believe that anymore. We eat freely and believe we can live. Because we're not dead. But Adam ate and he didn't die either. Not naturally. But spiritually he was dead as a doornail, as someone has said, right? Said, you partake of it and you shall surely die. Look at Genesis 3, 22 to 24. Genesis 3. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, we've got to stop him. How powerful God has made us. How powerful he has created us in his image. Had Adam partook the tree of life, he would have lived forever. Evil. And God withheld the tree of life from him and banished him from the garden. Now what was in the garden? Let's rehearse it. What was in the garden? I've got to do this quick. What was in the garden? It was the terms of the agreement. This is what your purpose was. This is the original intent. To have dominion, to reproduce, to subdue, to cultivate. Remember all those things? So that was in the garden. What else was in the garden? Well, it was dying to self. And it was the birthing of the purposes of God in others. That was in the garden. What else was in the garden? The altar, the covenant, the place of God's presence was in the garden. Now he was banished from the garden. No presence, no purpose, no direction for life. What's it all about? Alfie, who am I? Come on. Banished from the place of purpose, the place of presence. Banished. Banished from dying to self. And birthing God's purpose on the earth. So now, thousands of years later, we have churches. And so here we are back to church. And so now we're singing Kumbaya and we're doing all of our churchy things. And we're still not in the presence. We're still not fulfilling the purpose. And we're still not birthing God's intent on the earth. Thinking we're in the garden. Shoot. If we're not fulfilling those things, if we're not functioning in the covenantal terms of the Edenic covenant in the new covenant, then we are not in covenant. So I want to get in covenant with God. So I want to go to church. Anybody can go to church. You train monkeys to go to church. You know, there are actors that have played in movies who have preached better than most preachers I hear preach. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, people that sing gospel in movies, and they're not any more born again than your dog at home, and they can shout the house down because you can train people to function in the anointing. People do it all the time. There are charlatans everywhere. Here's how I'll know you. Fruit of your covenant. Righteousness. Covenant. Presence of God, purpose of God, dying to self. I know you. You're a man of covenant. You're a woman of covenant. If you don't have those marks on you, you are not in covenant. But I go to church. So what? Church mice go to church. Come on. And that's what we've done. We've raised a generation to think if you go to church on Sunday, you are a covenant man or covenant woman. That's not true. Oh, you wait. Revelation 22:14. I got to quit here pretty soon. I'm going to finish in a couple more scriptures. I just have to get that out. I went to Midland. That's my job. Called the medal. All right, Revelation 22. Look at verse 14. Listen to this. This is what's powerful. I love this verse. I love a lot of verses, but I love this one. Blessed are those who do His commandments. Blessed are those who do His commandments that they may have the right to the tree of life. Think about that. All I got to do is obey the Bible and I have the right to the tree of life. I mean, I'm living forever. When I die, you can lay this old body down. There ain't no grave. Keep this body down. No, I'm going to be in the absence of the body, present with the Lord. Don't weep over me. Don't even have a funeral service. Have a party. He made it. I hope. Partake of the tree of life. Healing in the leaves. My body is sick. Oh, I'm in covenant. I've been obedient to your word. Look at this next verse. That they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Into the city. Into the economy of God. The city. Into the authority of God. The city of God. Into the dwelling and the government of God. I mean, when you start breaking all that down, it's like you keep His commandments. And I get to partake of the tree of life and enter into the city of God. This world is not my home. It's not your home. I don't function according to standards and dictates of this world. I am of another planet. Another place. And I'm a sojourner passing through. The Apostle Paul got this vision. He said, I'm so in covenant with God. I'm partaking of the tree of life. I enter into the gates of the city of God daily. When I rise up, I'm walking on streets of gold. It may look like I'm walking on black carpet here, but I'm walking on the streets of gold. I'm not an ordinary person. I'm not like other people. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be proud or big deal or something. I'm just not. Neither are you. If you've been redeemed, you are in covenant. You live in the city of God. We dwell in heavenly places with Him. Do you have my ladder? You have that ladder up there? Put that ladder up there if you have it. Ah, perfect. Okay, God's original intent, the Edenic covenant. In the Edenic covenant, there was a tree of eternal life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. However, man fell in the garden, right? Boom, the fall. Broken covenantal relationship. So man was separated from God. So Jacob's ladder was a type of the covenantal chain of divine revelation. It's beautiful. He saw heavens opened up and angels ascending and descending, even as the Son of Man. In other words, access to the city of God. We just read it in Revelation 22 and 14. Isn't that cool? Well, here in John, well, let's read John 1:51. You got to look at John 1:51. Get your Bible out. Don't look at the screen. You really, don't change that. Leave that up there. Look at this. John 1:51. You've got to see this scripture. Jesus, it's in red, right? Jesus. Here's what He says. And He said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. This is what Jesus was talking about. He was saying, I'm here to fulfill God's original purpose, the eternal covenant's purpose on the earth. I am here to reestablish it. There's only one way to life. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. He said, any man believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he what? Live. How do we know that? Because we take the first rung of the ladder, the Adamic covenant, and then the Noahic covenant. Which out of those two, the first Adam of the human race, the second father of the human race after the flood. We are birthing the Abrahamic covenant with the introduction of the father of faith and the seed of blessing. And then the Mosaic and the Palestinian covenant to Israel, the land and the people. Then the Davidic covenant about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the new covenant. And now, where are we? Back to God's original purpose, which was the Edenic covenant. Why do we want to build denominations about the Mosaic covenant? We got all kinds of churches who tell people legalistically how to go to church. Don't wear women's apparel. You'll go to hell. You are ignorant of a covenant. I should have got an amen right there. Palestinian covenant. I'm going to live in the Mount of Olives. That's where I'm going to build my house. That was to Israel. But we're spiritual Israel. It's a revocable covenant. You know, it's not irrevocable. I don't know where you think so. It's going to be in New Jerusalem. Listen, have you ever been to Jerusalem? You ever been to Israel? It is not pretty. Ohio is prettier than Jerusalem. I mean, you go to East Jerusalem, it's nothing but little pebbles and rocks and barren nothing with nomadic tribes and sheep and Bedouins living in these little tents and hot, dusty. I don't live there. Now, the west side is restored, and it's fertile and green, and it's kind of pretty. But that's Palestinian, isn't it? And then the new covenant, the Davidic, and then the new covenant. The Davidic, it just builds one onto another. And Jesus said, you know what? You're going to get back to the place where you're going to enter, and you're going to leave this city called the City of God. And one day, you're going to live there permanently, eternally, in the New Jerusalem. So, I'm just glad to be a Christian tonight, man. I am glad that I'm redeemed. I am like filled with purpose. I mean, I am bursting at the seams with, you know, let me show God off in my life. It just encourages me to want to do that. The fall of man necessitated the revelation of this redemptive covenant to bring all the covenants to fulfillment. This was made possible by the new covenant, which restores to man all that was lost in Eden. A covenant relationship, character, dominion, fruitfulness, eternal life, all based upon obedience and faith. So a New Testament Christian ought to look like Adam pre-fall. That's what we should look like. How we should act. Now, I'm not advocating we are to have all the soulical powers. There's been books written, one entitled The Latent Power of the Soul by, was it E.W. Kenyon? Not Kenyon. Who was that writer? Watchman Nee. I don't know. I'm not that deep of a thinker. But The Latent Power of Soul, he suggests that when you're born again, you can once again reach a pinnacle of life where you begin to recapture the mental capacity that Adam had. I don't know that. I'm not that deep. All I know is what I shared with you tonight. That's right. But I am saying this. I'm going to strive to become like Jesus. Because I have a right to eat of the tree of life. How about you? You want to go higher? Climb the ladder. You want to go back to where God's original purpose and intent was? Why are we living in the muck and the mire? Why are we eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Spit it out. Spit it out. Go to the tree of life tonight and receive of Jesus your original purpose and your intent with God. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, we thank you, Lord, that you have brought us out of the miry clay. You set my feet down upon a rock to stay. Oh, you washed me and cleansed me. And Lord, I willingly lay down my life that I might birth your purpose, your bride on the earth. Not about me, not about myself, not about I, but it's about everybody else. I've come to worship you tonight, Lord. Would you stand with me right now? Lift your hands up before the Lord. Come on, let's worship him. Do you want to go there? Come on, let's go. Take me into the home.
of holies. Take a coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am.
Oh, yes.
Take me in to the holy.
Take us in, Lord.
Of holies.
Not content to be in the outer courts.
Take me in by the blood. Of the Lamb, take me in to the Holy of Holies.
Yes, yes.
Take a coal.
Take the coal.
Cleanse my lips.
One more time, sing that song. Yes, Lord. Come on, bless the Lord.
Take me in to the Holy of Holies.
Would you
take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take a coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am.
Take the coal.
Take a coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am.
Tell him one last time, take a coal.
Take a coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.